He saw enough of me to decide that he's going to die for me. But not only for me, but for everybody. And thank God for that. Amen. Turn around to your neighbor and say, I'm glad that you're here today. Amen. Good to have my friend, Brother Arden Philpott, in the house of the Lord with us again tonight. I saw him right there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 through 25. And again, everybody, I'm glad to have everybody in the house of the Lord today. And I believe that God's going to do some great things for us. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 through 25. Bible says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Have you ever said that before? Remembering mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Somebody say, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want to talk to you this morning on just that thought. Great is thy faithfulness. I want you to turn that person next to you and look him in the eye. And I want you to tell him, great is God's faithfulness. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. Born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky, was a man by the name of Thomas Chisholm. Thomas became a Christian at the age of 27 years old, and he then entered the ministry when he was 36 years old. But just 1 year after entering the ministry, at 37 years of age, Thomas had to retire due to severe health reasons. And he later took a desk job as an insurance agent, and at that desk he wrote over 1,200 poems, including several published hymns. One of those songs went like this. Be careful, I won't be singing this. I'll just quote the song. I want to keep you in the seats. Had a preacher years ago look at me and say, Mick, get up there and lead a few songs. I did. And he said, Mick, stick to preaching. So I'll just quote this. Amen. But one of the songs he wrote said this: there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Also penned it with these words: great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I've seen. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Ravaged by health problems, ravaged by pains and aches in his body, and life did not turn out the way that Thomas expected it to. And only 1 year into ministry, and yet Thomas begins to sing, great is thy faithfulness. The question of the hour is this: why in the world could Thomas write and sing this song? Because Thomas was in a world of hurt. He lived in a constant state of agony, of pain. No doubt many shortcomings in life. And life did not turn out the way it truly did. My question is, and hopefully your question would be, why in the world could this guy, or how could this guy, write a song that said, great is thy faithfulness in a world of pain? What happened in his life? Could it be that he read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, saying, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Could it be that Thomas had the words of the psalmist David in Psalms 34 verse 1 when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Something got a hold of him. But despite the affliction in his body, he was still able, Brother McIntosh, to lift his voice and sing, great is thy faithfulness. I've come today to tell to somebody that you are the master of your destiny, and that you are the master of your emotions, and you are the master of your perspective. Even in the darkest of days, you could sit back there and complain because of the cards that you've been dealt with in life. You could complain about the pains and the aches in every aspect of your body. You can complain because this hasn't happened, or that happened, hasn't happened. And you can get mad because God never gave you the breaks, and you never got the luck that others got. And you could sit back there and you could have a pity party. And you can find others that will join in your pity party. There are those that love to dwell in the dramas of life. There are those that love to hear of all the woes and all the why is me and all the aches and the pains. You'll find people that will love to join your pity party, love to feel bad together. But there are some that can make up their mind that I'm not going to let my pain dictate my walk with God. I'm not going to let my hurts and my shortcomings in life drain my perspective. No, I may be in pain, but I know there's a God that can get me out of the mess that I am. I know there's a God that can lead me. I know there's a God that can be a light that where at a dark tunnel. There is a God that can lift my hands and lift my spirits. I know I can't do it, but there is a God that loves me. There is a God that's concerned about me. Others will say, you have no reason to get excited. You have no reason to worship. You have no reason to even go to church. But I know there is a God. When I show up into his courts and I show up into his house, I can feel him. Although hell has come against me, I do know there is a God that loves me when I come in the house of the Lord. And I understand this, that life is not fair. And you've got to understand that. Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There are moments that everyone faces. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care your last name. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care about the car that you drive. Everybody faces misfortune. Everybody faces pain, and everybody's there are people that'll ask, why me? Why am I? No, you're not the only one. Everybody faces junk because life is not fair. Had to tell my brother that years ago when he had his wife had to give birth to a newborn baby that was fully developed, but there was no breath in that body. A body where it was fully developed hair and all of that. And yet we looking at that baby, and he looked at me and said, why? It just is not fair. What's the answer you can give? Well, God took your baby. Can I just tell somebody, God is not in the business to take babies. God is not in the business to take your loved one. You understand that? God just doesn't sit there and say, okay, it's your turn, it's your turn. We're going to let a car hit you. We're going to let a doctor give you a bad... God's not that way. God created a place where there was no death, where there was, but because of sin, when sin entered the world, death entered the world. It's because of sin is the reason why we face junk and the reason why life's not fair. But can I tell you today on the very onset of this message that even though life is not fair and life is cruel and life is unjust, there is a God that is always good. You listen to Pastor today. I don't care what you're up against, and I don't care what you're facing, and I don't care what the doctor has told you. There is a God that loves you. There is a God that believes in you. And although life is not fair, there is a God that is good. Even when things go wrong, he's still good. Even when things don't turn out right, he's still good. Even though I lost my job, he's still good. Even though I lost my home, he's still good. Even though I lost my car, he's still good. And on and on and on. Everything you lost in comparison to him will let you lift up your hands and lift up your voice and say, God, you're good all the time. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but God, you're good. Great is thy faithfulness. God, you've been good to me more than this world has ever been. God has been good. Because I understand an old song, Sister Miller, that old song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a pass. You know what I'm talking about? There's junk that we're facing, and we're like, why? Woe is me. And Brother Calvillo, I don't understand why this and that. And it just seems like every time I get out of that valley, I'm going back into the valley. It just seems like I can never catch a break. But I understand there is coming a day. There's coming a day, you mark it down, that I'm going to see the one that I've heard preached about for so long. I'm going to see the one that we've sung about for so long. It's going to be a glorious day. No more death, no more pain, no more parting, no more persecution. But there is coming a day. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm merely just passing by. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh yes, Thomas saw something. He got the revelation of who God was, and that's why he was able to pin those words, great is thy faithfulness. And some of us this morning on a Sunday morning in Tulare, California at Abundant Life Center, we've got to get a new perspective on God. We've got to get a new revelation on our God. Can I tell you, God is bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your trial. He's bigger than your hurts. He's bigger than your disappointments. There is a God that's bigger. There is a God that says, I will always make a way of escape for you. I will be with you wherever you go. That's why he said, fear thee not. Hallelujah. I'm glad there is a God that fights with me. David penned it with those words. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord was. Not the Lord shall be. Not the Lord is my mama's shepherd. He's my shepherd. Thank God for mom's daddy. Thank God for grandpa's daddy. But he becomes my daddy. The Lord is my shepherd. He becomes personal. All I have to do is say, Dad, I'm in need of you. And all of a sudden, time just stands still. And he listens to me. Isn't that what David said? Who am I? Thou art mindful of me. Mere creation talking to the Creator, and yet you want to commune with me. Thank God for a God like that. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He does what? He restores my soul. There are times when you can't restore it, but there's a God that can. That's why church is so vitally important to your walk with God. We've got to understand when we're facing the junk and we're facing the dark trials, we should run to the church, not run away from the church. Because it's in the church where we get our strength. He restores unto us. Because once we get the restoring process going on, and we get the joy process going on, and we realize that He is our God, He is personal, He's everything that I need, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When I understand that revelation, that's when David penned those words, yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, I'm walking through. I'm not staying in that valley. Some of you like to stay in that valley. Some of you like to post it on Facebook and in all of this. Oh, I'm going through this and this is that. Who cares about that? I'm not staying here. I'm not collecting mail here. It's just a journey. Yea, though I walk through. Some of you got to make up your mind. I'm coming out of this. This will not hold me captive any longer. I'm out of this jail. I'm out of this dungeon of doubt and dungeon of fear and dungeon of worry. I'm walking through this valley. How can I do it? Because thou art with me. There's a God that's fighting for you. There's a God that believes in you. There are moments that you don't believe in yourself. There are moments you just, you doubt your own self. But there's a God that never doubts you. Because God believes in you. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but He'll be with you until the ends of the world. You've got a dad you can depend on. You say, well, I haven't had natural parents. Of course, they've walked out on you. You can't compare God with your family. Some of us do, and we get in trouble because we had a bad father figure. Now we just kind of visualize God as a bad father figure. He is nowhere close to your earthly parents. Didn't He say something in His word? You being evil, know how to give good gifts. How much more does your heavenly Father want to give to you? I'm telling you, there is a God that loves you. There's a God that wants nothing more but to elevate and bless you. There is a God fighting for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if you could sum up this book of Lamentations we read, you could properly define this book as a book not of shouting, not a book of rejoicing, but a book of mourning, a book of suffering. The author of this book is believed to be none other than the weeping prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's life and ministry was not a ministry of glamour and fame, but a ministry of suffering and pain. There's a lot of people that say, I want his anointing. I want his ministry. I want what they, you don't know what they've been involved in. You don't know where they've been, what they've lost to get them to where they're at. I'm telling you, anointing comes through a broken process. And everybody says, well, I want that glamour. Well, it's not glamorous, baby. But if you really want it, Jeremiah will start telling you of what went on because he was a man of deep sadness and wept always about the sins of the people. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3 because he pins it with these words. He said, you want this ministry? He said, here's how this ministry works. Here's how church works, okay? If you want the touch of God and you want God's anointing and you want God's favor and you want God's blessings, let me just show you what you're talking about. Because a lot of you say, pray, God, I want to be used of you. I want to do this. I'll go where, anybody pray, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Oh, really? He told you to go to that person at Walmart and tell them that Jesus loves them and you haven't done that. You said, God, I'll do whatever it takes. And God says, oh, really? I'm going to take away all your finances and see what happens now. You prayed for that. So let's read Lamentations because I want you to know what you're getting into. Jeremiah penned it with these words in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, I am the man that has seen afflictions by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. You feel like you're all alone? You feel like you're the only one holding the banner of truth? He said, surely against me he has turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he had made old. He hath broken my bones. I've looked at mirrors and I'm like, who is this old dude? Every time I walk in my house, I look at our wedding picture. I'm like, my goodness, where'd that guy go? Amen. I kind of feel the same way that old brother Jeremiah did. My flesh and my skin, he's made old. And my broken bones, he hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He set me in dark places as they be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out of. He hath made me my chain heavy. He's made the burden. Some of you say, God, I'll pick up that burden and follow you. Really? Jeremiah said, he's made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer, meaning he doesn't answer your prayer in your timeline. God will never answer your prayer in your timeline because God is not confined to time. We are. Oh, if I just get to payday, if I just pay this bill, they'll stop calling me. You know what I'm talking about? He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces and hath made me desolate. These are the words of Jeremiah. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was derision to all my people and their song all the day. I was mocked. I was ridiculed by people for my message. Did not the Lord say, you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake? When you stand the banner, I'm going to tell you, we live in a crazy world right now. You can profess to be whatever you are. You can be an animal. You can be whatever you want to be, you can claim yourself to be. But just don't claim yourself a Christian as you'll start getting arrows thrown at you. We live in a crazy world where men no longer love light, but they love darkness. And the minute we are the children of light is the minute that people start taking our song away. And they start mocking us and ridiculing us. Jeremiah said, he hath filled me with bitterness and hath made me drunken with the wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. Ow! He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Jeremiah said, rejected, hated, mocked, in prison and ignored. Witnessing his beloved Jerusalem ransacked and desecrated and destroyed, experienced the horror of war, the brutality of the enemy, and the pangs of hunger. And yet in verse 21, after Jeremiah lays out his resume, lays out his life's work, Jeremiah lifts up his voice and he makes this statement in verse 21. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Jeremiah, have you lost your mind? I have hope. What? How can you possibly have hope despite the junk? Despite the betrayal, despite the affliction, despite the torment, all the struggles that you laid out, what in the world would cause you to say, I have hope? Some of you think you're the only one that's going through this. Jeremiah lays it out. You get mad because pastor don't talk to you. You get mad because you don't get to ask to sing a special. And you don't get to get on stage and get the limelight and you don't get pats on the back, hey, you did a great job cleaning the bathroom. You get mad at that. Someone taking your parking space, someone sitting in your pew. And yet we're talking about the struggles of life that Jeremiah lays out. And Jeremiah said, listen, I still have hope. because I don't have hope in this world, and I don't have hope in this body, in this flesh, but I have hope in God, because I know that God is faithful and He'll always be faithful. And when I recall all the junk that I went through, and I recall everything that all the hurts and the pains and all the misfortunes in life, I recall all that because I have hope. And that hope is in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. The world will let you down. Life will let you down. Family will let you down. Friends will let you down. But God said, I will never let you down. I will never disappoint you. I'll never walk out on you. You walk out on me, but I'll never walk out on you. You disappoint me, but I'll never disappoint you. There is a God that loves you. That's why Jeremiah said, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Because of His mercies, we're not consumed. I know the road's been tough. I know struggle has been real, and you have been misquoted, and people have talked about you, and junk has happened in your life, but there is a God that's standing up here tonight to tell you that He still believes in you. There is a God that wants to give you a message, and that message is, you're not alone. You're not facing this by yourself. There is a God that's fighting for you. There is a God that believes in you today. And we've got to understand something today. That's trial that we're in. It's not there to kill us. It's not there to take us out, but it's to make us. Many times we're praying, God, I want to know that you're a Jehovah Jireh. Really? The only way you're going to know you're a Jehovah Jireh is you got to have a need. If you want to know that He's a provider and He can provide for you, you got to have some needs. I know the needs are not easy, but I'm going to tell you, it's in those needs that you say, you are my Jehovah Jireh. It's in those midnight hours when tears are streaming down your face and you don't know where else to go, and nobody else understands it, but there's a God that understands. There's a God that's with you every step of this race. I'm telling you, there's a God that you can trust in. There's a God that you can hope in. There is a God that wants to somehow change that morning. Isn't that why His word said weeping may endure for night, but there's something about coming in the morning. If you can just persevere, if you can just keep doing what you know to do, hallelujah, I'm telling you, if you'll get this made up in your mind and you'll forget about all the junk and all the trial and all the obstacles you have to face, and you'll lift up your eyes and you'll understand there is a God fighting for you and believes in you. There's a God that has your family just where He wants them to be. You say, well, how is this going to be turned around? You can't turn it around, but God can. God, you have made faces for years and weeks and months and whatever it is, but God can turn it around just like that. And the reason why He waits that way, Brother Roy, is because He wants you to know you didn't do it. You didn't manufacture this, but He wants you to know it was a God thing. God performed it. God got you out of it. It wasn't your talents. It wasn't your abilities. It wasn't your looks. But there was a God that was looking down and saying, hey, they've been faithful. Hey, they haven't given up. Hey, they haven't thrown in the towel. Hey, they still believe in me. I know that life has been rough and life has not been fair, but they still believe that I am good. I'm going to tell you, there's a God that believes every step that you take. There's a God that's fighting for you. God has the final word in your life, and you've got to realize that He's faithful in everything. Hallelujah. There is a God. Hallelujah. I feel Him here today. Would you lift your hands across this building today? Would you just lift your voice with me today? Come on, you're not alone. Those prayers you have prayed have not fallen on deaf ears. There is a God that has heard every one of your prayers. There is a God that has seen everything that you've gone through. There is a God that's fighting for you. You think you're all alone, but there's a God that says, I'm outside. I'm just knocking on the door. I'm just waiting for somebody to open up that door.
Lift up your voice with me today. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the naysayers are saying. There is a God that has the final words. And because of that, I can boldly lift my hands and raise my voice and sing that song. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lift up your voice in this house today. Come on, your kids depend on you. Your marriage depends on you. Your friends depend on you. Your coworkers depend on you to keep your trust in Him, to get a made up mind like Job did. When Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Why? Because He's great and greatly to be praised. Come on, lift up your voice in this house today. Come on. I don't care what's going on around you. There is a God that believes in you. Come on, lift up your voice. The Holy Ghost is in this house this morning. Hallelujah, you're not facing this alone. You're not in that fiery furnace alone. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the heat got turned up, there was a God that said, I'm going to be with you in that fire. God says, I'm going to be with you, Noah, in that flood. There's something about the love of God. It doesn't matter where you are and what you've been involved in. There is a God that surrounds you by love. Hallelujah. Shatara kaya rasayako. Oh, lift up your voice right now. So I'm preaching about hope. I'm trying to infuse somebody with hope. I'm trying to somehow ignite some faith and faith to believe that there is a God that's on your side. Shatara kaya raso raki. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sharakaya rasiako. Hallelujah. Shatarakaya rasiako. Oh, I trust you, God. I trust you today, God. Come on, your marriage isn't over. Your kids aren't too far gone. There is a God that's fighting for you. I don't care what you're up against. I don't care what you're facing. There is a God. 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 Shatara kaya raso. Why don't you put your arm around that person next to you? Won't you speak a word over them? Won't you speak life into them? You're coming out of this. God's setting you up right now for a breakthrough. The miracle's on its way. Hallelujah. The supernatural is but a praise away. Come on, somebody. I feel Him in this house right now. Hell is trying to silence you. Hell is trying to take you out, but there is a God on a Sunday morning that's here to declare to you that He's got a way of escape for you. You're coming out of this. Today's a new day. It's a new beginning. I don't care everything else as you've tried and failed, but maybe today is the day that God is going to bring you out of this. Arasataya korayanda yasi. Ikaraya torasataya ki. Shara, come on, lift your voice. Connect with a God this morning. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're up against. Shatarakaya rasi. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Shatarakayaraso. Shandarakayarasi. Hiaraso. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel his presence in this building today. Shatarakayatorasata. Come on, you've been praying for this. You've been seeking for this. You've been waiting. You've been hoping if this could just be the day. And God is saying right now, at this appointed moment, I'm showing up for you. Come on, you're coming out of this. You're not staying in that dungeon of doubt and dungeon of fear any longer. Shatarakaya torasi, haranda yakorasi, sharakaya to. Oh, come on, that feels good. Come on, you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Pastor, you don't know what I said. Pastor, you don't know where I've been. No, there's a God that does. And there's a God that doesn't give up on you. There's a God that loves you. Sharakaya raso. Yarayanda yakorasi. Ashatarakaya to. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Sharakaya rasoraki. Yarayanda yako. Shatarakaya rasi. Shorakaya rasi ayaki. Yaranda yakorasi. Hallelujah. Sharakia raso. Harasaya raki. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's the refreshing oil of the Holy Ghost. That's the refreshing oil. Hallelujah. I love you, God. Sharakaya raso. Iko randa yasi. Sharakaya rako. Sharakaya si. Come on, you can't manufacture this. There is a deep moving of the presence of the Lord. Lift up your voice in this house. Sharakaya rasiyako. Sharakaya raso. Hiaraya. Sharasayaraki. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Come on, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Sharaya tarakaya rasi. Oh, oh. Love your name. Love your name. Love your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sharakia raso. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. 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 There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I really don't know why life is unfair, even though we've talked about it. I don't know why, really, our bodies were really born to die. Seems like when you get over the 30, 40 mark, your body starts decaying. We reach a pinnacle, and then we go down the pinnacle journey. But when you start looking back, we were created for one purpose: to give Him worship, to give Him praise. We don't have to figure it all out. I'm reminded of my boy, my brother's baby, that when I had to deliver the funeral message, one of the most difficult messages I had ever had to endure. But I took it to this thought, that even though we didn't understand why his baby never had the ability to breathe in breath like we so easily do, never understood why that baby, that child, couldn't just grow up and live. But yet I took it this way. I felt like the Lord shared it this way, because many times when we're praying for things, we're praying for the temporal and not the eternal. And where I felt like the Lord gave me a word for my brother at that moment, I think it was a word for me as well, because that baby would never know what it's like to face anger, hurts, pain, bitterness, disappointments, false accusations, and on and on and on. The only thing that baby would ever know: love, peace, joy, hope, Jesus. The first steps that baby would take would be on streets of gold. A baby that never now would experience death. What we have to understand is there is a world beyond this world, and we are living for that moment. And that's why the stuff that we go through, it's there to make us and help us to be a living testimony for those around us. Because I'm telling you that one day when God calls us home and we stand before Him, and He reads my name from His book, and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," I could lift up my voice and say, "Great is thy faithfulness to me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for..." You know what I'm talking about? Could we lift our hands one more time in this building today? Could we love a God that has given us the opportunity, that has given us the blessing to be able to commune with Him, to be able to draw nigh to Him, to be able to come boldly into His throne and make our petitions known? God, we love you today. We stand here on a Sunday morning debtors. Debtors to you. Debtors of your love. Debtors of your mercy. Debtors of your grace. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for never giving up on us, God. Thank you for always giving us a way of escape. God, I pray blessings on homes and blessings on families and blessings on marriages. And I pray that you'd raise up your children today to go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Because you said in your word that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. And anoint our testimony, God, as we go out there to this world and show them you. In Jesus' name we give you praise. Clap your hands unto the Lord. I love every one of you, and you can stay here as long as you like. Tonight's going to be a great night. 5:30, come early for prayer. 6 o'clock, evangelistic service. But God bless every one of you. Stay here as long as you like and pray. But get around somebody and love on somebody. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.